This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
President of the United States, an embassy to the Gulf, especially to Riyadh. Yes, there was much attention to geopolitical maneuvers, notably Syria and the handshake with a man called al-Shara, the self-named president of Syria. But inside all of this was an ambition in Riyadh by Mohammed bin Salman, in Dubai, and to an extent Oman and Doha are watching closely, to bring artificial intelligence to the Gulf via data centers, high-end chips, education, and they need power, lots and lots of power. I welcome Josh Rogan from the Washington Post, writing most recently about this embassy of the president's and also what is to be done, because we're talking about an arms race not unlike 100 years ago. Aviation was chased by all the major powers. And then the Navy was chased by all the major powers. And then strategic missiles, intercontinental, and then nuclear weapons, and then the internet. Well, now we're chasing artificial intelligence. Josh, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The president's mission right now was to provide Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, assurances that there is going to be material, especially from Silicon Valley, that meet his ambitions to build an AI center. Have I said that correctly? Was it a surprise to Washington that MBS wants to compete? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. You said it exactly correctly. President Trump's trip to the Gulf last week marked a sea change in the way that the United States performs economic statecraft abroad, bringing the tech companies from Silicon Valley to the fore and having them replace the traditional defense contractors and energy contractors that usually sit in the seats surrounding the president of the United States when he meets with someone like Crown Prince MBS. And all you had to do was look at the roster of tech executives who accompanied the president on his trip to see who are the companies that this administration is in the business of promoting in the Gulf. OpenAI, Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, Palantir, SpaceX, Google, Oracle, Cisco, Qualcomm. These are the new defense giants, not Lockheed Martin, not Northrop Grumman, not Booz Allen Hamilton. Now, from the perspective of the Gulf countries, this is what they've wanted for many, many years. Gulf monarchies are looking at their dwindling oil and gas reserves and seeking out a new business model to use that energy cash to build a new dependence. And that dependence they see as data and AI. But these countries, these Gulf monarchies, don't just want to partner with Silicon Valley. They want to be owners. They want to serve the function of taking on the intellectual property, the manufacturing, the knowledge, the know-how, the research, all of it, and onshoring it into their countries so that they can not only be part of the AI revolution, that they can be at the front of it. And what they're offering to these companies is, in exchange, is an unlimited amount of money and energy, and also investment in their U.S. tech firms, AI infrastructure development in the United States. Now, the reason that both sides will give when asked why they're doing this is the same, to compete against China. There's a reality here that the Chinese government is seeking to become the dominant source of AI and data technology across the world. And the thinking is that if the Silicon Valley and the Gulf monarchies can pool their knowledge and resources, that's the best way to stop China from achieving its own goal. At the same time, there are real concerns in Washington about the implications of putting American know-how, American technology, and American data in the hands of Gulf monarchies that have less accountability and less respect for human rights and the rule of law than other U.S. and allied jurisdictions. So this is the new battlefield, and the Gulf is at the front of the onslaught.
Josh's report, WP Intelligence, includes a remarks by Senator Murphy from Connecticut that are significant because it's commonsensical. At the same time, it's unanswered. The senator says they need to use their revenue from oil, meaning the Gulf states, in order to create a new international dependence on the Gulf. It's really smart, but it's not good for American security interests. Senator Murphy's a bright, very focused man representing the Democratic Party's opinion in some fashion here. I see him often. I'm in Connecticut now, so I see him often reported. This is a position that isn't necessarily one side or the other, Josh, is my opinion. There are reservations in both parties. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Right now, the divide is not between Republicans and Democrats. It's between Washington and Palo Alto. And what the tech executives will say is that any regulation coming from Washington on all of these deals, all of these developments, would only slow down U.S. innovation and cede the ground to China. But there are people in both parties, more Democrats more vocally to be sure, but in both parties who say that absolutely not, that you know these are such advanced systems with such massive dual-use applications. In other words, they can be used for civilian purposes or they can be used for military purposes, that they have to be controlled in some sort of way and that control can only come from the U.S. government. And of course, the companies don't like that. The Gulf monarchies don't like that. But eventually, these deals are going to have to come through some sort of process. Will that process be robust? Will that process be corrupted? Will that process be quick enough to allow the deals to proceed on the path on which they are intended? Those are all the unanswered questions that you're referring to, because the Trump administration is not known for its process, John. And they don't care about process. They want to get the deals done. So what we have really is a battle between the institutions of Washington and the Trump White House. And so far in this administration, the Trump White House tends to win those battles, but we'll have to see.
The vice president has spoken of this matter, but most important to me in your report is David Sachs. Who is he and what is his opinion?
Right. Vice President J.D. Vance gave a speech in Paris about laying out the administration's broad AI strategy, which is essentially to focus on innovation, get rid of regulation, but keep the chips out of the hands of China. How do you manage those three things is what David Sachs, our White House AI czar, is in charge of figuring out. Now, of course, David Sachs, as a major investor in these technologies, has a clear conflict of interest. Nevertheless, what he says is that once you give these technologies to Gulf states, preventing them from then sliding out the back door to China will be an easy thing to do. He's saying that we can monitor these technologies, that as long as they're in the Gulf, it will be easy to make sure that they don't leave the Gulf. Most, if not all, Washington think tank and legal and policy experts say that's simply not true, that once you diffuse or proliferate these technologies, it's very hard to undiffuse or unproliferate them. And it's just a matter of time before, if you give a million chips to the UAE, a few of them are going to end up in China. We saw that with the recent development of Chinese tech as exhibited by the DeepSeek AI language model. Somehow, despite strict, quote unquote, strict export controls, this Chinese company was able to get thousands of chips that they shouldn't have had. So imagine what happens when you put literally hundreds of thousands of chips into countries that have relationships with China, like the UAE, and a poor record of accountability, like the UAE. This is a huge risk that David Sachs denies exists, basically. And I think that's wishful thinking, to be honest.
The Congress. What I take from your report is that there's so many different committees with a piece of the action that there's not only no unanimity, there's no leadership. Is that correct? Everybody's got their own. There are eight blind men and an elephant.
Right. And because both chambers of Congress are controlled by Republicans, it's unlikely that these committees are going to take affirmative action to stall what the President Trump wants, which is just to open the floodgates for technology to the Gulf. And there will be some objections by Democrats, but they're unlikely to win the day. And what everyone acknowledges is necessary is a broad legislation that regulates the diffusion of AI and other high technologies in a systematic way so that we don't have to go country by country or tier by tier. There are some rules of the road, but that's one of those things that Congress has been promising for years, if not decades, so no one expects it to materialize. So that leaves it up to the institutions in the U.S. government, like the Treasury Department, the Commerce Department, and the State Department, to step in and say, wait a second, there are national security concerns at play. And before we share our most closely held technologies, technologies that could literally change the face of warfare in a couple of years, we ought to have some safeguards. We ought to have a think about whether or not it's a good idea to trust our Gulf partners with these technologies. And even that is going to be a difficult thing for those institutions to do if the White House doesn't want them to do it. So that's the fight that lays ahead. The president and MBS and the tech executives have made the first move, but Washington will be able to make the second move. The
sidebar that's related is energy. And the Saudis, again, are pitching for energy, nuclear power. Is that part of the Trump administration thinking? We give them nuclear power and we give them AI and they're good boys?
Right. Maybe, maybe not. I think the energy question is crucial here because one advantage that China has is that it's a socialist country with a state-run economy. And if they want to build 1,000 coal plants to power 1,000 data centers, they don't need to appropriate anything through any Congress. They can just do it. And, of course, in the United States, we have a trillion-dollar infrastructure bill and nothing ever gets built. So the Gulf states offer a shortcut, right? They have plenty of fossil fuels and they have plenty of money to build more energy producing facilities. Will that be nuclear? Probably not. That nuclear technology proliferation is something that Donald Trump actually is very opposed to. But in a variety of ways, the Saudis can bring energy resources to the table, which is exactly what the tech companies need. Again, that comes with risks, but it's hard to turn down a lifetime full of free energy.
What is to be done? Josh Rogan of The Washington Post.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.